John Fain, broadcasting from the Ovens Riverside Precinct in Wangaratta.
The Conversation Hour.
On 774 ABC Melbourne and ABC Victoria.
Welcome to The Conversation Hour, broadcasting from the Cafe Preview on the riverbank on the Ovens River in Wangaratta. We've been up here to have a look at the electorate of Indi, and what an interesting snapshot we've had of not just a contest to represent the people of Indi in the federal parliament, but a snapshot of all that seems to be so seductive about rural living. Speaking personally, you leave the city, you head up the highway, the traffic thins out, the grass gets greener, the trees get bigger, the air gets clearer, and look, you just go through one of those little existential crises where you start to think, you know, you don't have to live in the middle of that viper's nest and traffic and smell and noise. By golly, there is another way. That's what we're looking at today. I'll introduce you in a moment to our guests, and we'll take your calls about sustainable, healthy rural communities. How do you make them? And we'll meet some of the people who I will describe as the glue, the sort of people that make rural communities what they are. And I'll introduce you to Cole, Matt and Marion in a moment. My co-host, though, is Chief of Staff and Mornings presenter for ABC, Goulburn Murray, our hosts here on the riverbank, Gay Patterson from the ABC. Morning to you, Gay.
Hello, John. And have you noticed that every man, woman, child, sheep and dog has turned out to say hello to you today?
And the dog's tempted by the smell of the sausages cooking outside on Ray's fire.
And the sheep are at the front in the back of the ute munching on hay.
We're here because of the election, but it makes me think there's every reason why people are in such large numbers turning their back on the cities and heading for not just Victoria, but around Australia, heading for a completely different lifestyle. It's called tree changing.
It is called tree changing, and some of our colleagues have done just that. I'm thinking of Edwina Farley, I'm thinking of Fiona Churchman. One lived in Melbourne, one lived in Adelaide. They've both relocated to the northeast. It's a beautiful part of the world to live in. Why wouldn't you want to live here?
So are you born and bred around here?
I was born and bred in Albury and grew up here. Went to the city, worked in a few jobs around Australia, worked at 3E here in Wangaratta, and now I live in Albury and love what I do.
Population growth here is driven partly by breeding, but mostly by internal immigration, I think we can call it. So what are the trends that are emerging before we introduce our guests? What are you seeing? Some people are retirees, some people are young professionals or people in the service industries that are such a big part now of our economy, and they're reversing the trend of kids who grow up here and go to the city to further their careers.
Well, that's it, and you're starting to see that more and more, and you would have spoken to some of the foodies. I mean, they are internationally talented people, but they choose to live here and they choose to make the food and the produce that then goes further afield. You've got people who live in Bright and commute to the city and come back at weekends because this is where they want to retire. You've got people who are starting little niche businesses here because they realise that there's more potential. There's a lifestyle balance. You can have, you know, your business, you can have your lifestyle at the weekends, you can be involved in sport, and you don't have to travel too far if you don't want to. So there's lots of things like that that are happening at the moment, and you're certainly seeing it in the northeast.
One of the realisations as you head out of town and you get this sort of little lightning moment, thunderbolt moment, you go, well, you know, you could live in rural Victoria and spend the same time commuting as people do from the outer suburbs.
This is true, but the commute is different. You get to see kangaroos, you get to see a little bit of the wildlife.
Hopefully the kangaroos are not
behind fences. You also get to see quite a little bit of, the scenery, the beautiful Warby Ranges. And it's amazing, you know, we're so close to the snow. You've got all these little industries that pop up each year because of the snow. You've got different things happening, and there's airports as well. So if you do want to get out and head further north because it's too cold at this time of year, then you've also got an airport nearby. So there's lots of things that you can do.
And front page of one of the local papers today, direct flights to Queensland from Albury.
That's right. Just started yesterday. So there's quite a bit of interest in that. And it was amazing when they announced that they had these direct flights, how many people seem to live in the north and then have family in the south. So they're reconnecting for the very first time in many years.
One of the great competitive advantages that Victoria has but doesn't make enough of is the fact that it's so compact. And so the capital city is within easy, relatively easy reach of the major regional centres. And it's not the case for Queensland. It's not the case for New South Wales. It's not the case in South Australia or Western Australia. No other part of Australia offers that, the way Melbourne and the regional centres are relatively easy to get to. And yet Victoria doesn't make enough of that, I've always thought.
Well, they did have that campaign, "You'll love every piece of Victoria." And I know
that was just tourism. I mean, yes, in terms of commerce and decentralisation, yeah, of government departments and the like. I mean, we are moving a few things out of Melbourne as a capital city, but you could move whole great sections of, I don't know, the educational industry, which is a big part of the Melbourne economy. You could basically just shift it and still have it within an hour or two of the capital city. You can't do that anywhere else in Australia.
No, that's right. There has been at times, I mean, Benalla was an epicentre for a lot of government departments, and that since declined as being a bit of a decentralisation of different departments, and there's other areas that are getting a bit of attention. Ballarat comes to mind, Geelong comes to mind. But you're right, there's so many opportunities where people could relocate within an hour and have these great big industries supporting communities that are needing support.
And if you look at the cost of infrastructure in Melbourne, it's so expensive to do anything. If you can shift some of the demand to Bendigo, Ballarat, Geelong, Shepparton, Benalla, Sale, if you can get those ring cities working better and working together, not just all spokes to a wheel, a hub in Melbourne, but working, integrating with each other too, the benefits longer term are enormous. I don't know why we're so slow to do it.
One of the things people will tell you is we've got to get the infrastructure right, and transport is a big issue, particularly rail in this part of the world. Shepparton as well, there's so many issues with not having a number of services, or there's the lack of service because of breakdowns and so forth. So there's a number of people who are campaigning on rail.
Text messages. One of the advantages of your trip into the country was to get out for a drive. There's a sheep and a kelpie in the back of your car right now, says somebody. Thank you very much, but I hope there isn't. Stephen Bambury wants to know, what about the cyclists? I'm told the rail trail is a major driver now for tourism as well. People coming out for bicycle tourism, which is incredibly popular.
Bicycle tourism is huge in our part of the world. It's amazing. In fact, if you had more time, we'd take you on those rail trails. You'd love them. You know, right up into the high country, and there's quaint little things that have started along the way where you could have a little morning tea or an afternoon tea, and people have built little industries around them. You can bring the whole family.
And you can hear the sound of the coffee machine in the background for people who are tragically stuck to the inner city because they think they can't get their favourite de-soy decaf latte or whatever.
But we don't deconstruct our coffee here.
You don't? Oh, no. Okay, rightio. Well, clearly there are quality products available here. Indeed, my panel sitting here itching to join in. Themselves undoubtedly participating. Kay Patterson, Chief of Staff and Mornings Presenter for ABC Goulburn Murray. Cole McLoonan, Marion Rack and Matt Farlert are our guests on the Conversation Hour today. Let's start with you, Cole. Cole McLoonan is President of the Wangaratta Magpies Football and Netball Club, also a former police officer and also, dare we say it, a former councillor on the now-sacked council here in Wangaratta. Cole, good morning to you.
Hey, John, how are you going?
Let's get this clear from the beginning. You're president of the Magpies, but you played for the Rovers.
Yeah, first came up here in 94, and it was one of those ring-ins to the community from Melbourne, and it was the best decision I ever made in my life.
So what brought you up here?
I was with the police force at the time and thought that I could do that anywhere. I was a pretty keen footballer and played in the amateurs in Melbourne, and thought I'd come up and play footy for a couple of years and stay up here. And when my first child was born, and 22 years later, I'm still here. And as I said, the best thing I ever did was move up to Wangaratta.
Okay, and being a local police officer, of course, means you see a particular type of slice of life, dare I say it. But you're not with the force anymore.
No, it's about 15 years I've been out. I did about 14 years in the police force. I really enjoyed my time doing that. But I've done a bit of study and wanted to move on and work in a few different fields, and I've done that since.
Okay, now with the Department of Education and Training. But how does a bloke still get around town when he played for the Rovers but now is president of the Magpies? Because I do understand in Wangaratta you're either with the Rovers or you're with the Magpies, and there's nothing in between.
Yes, I think it's probably shifted a little bit in the last 20 years. I think.
Oh, come on, we're interested in stirring up controversy.
Around the 70s and 80s, it was pretty key. There's a bit more movement back and forth across these days. I think the Rovers president was actually a reserves coach at Wang a few years ago as well. So we had feet in both camps. But yeah, look, I came up here and played with the Rovers in a premiership side in 94. It was one of the probably the best side of the 90s. It was an unbelievable side, and those guys have been great fellas through the years, but was keen to coach and looked at the Rovers and thought, I'm never going to coach here. They had about eight blokes that were lined up before me. Maggies were struggling at the time and decided to go across as an assistant coach and went through some struggles, but the club's actually tracked pretty well since.
And all importantly, it's not just a football club, it's a football netball club.
Yes, absolutely. And the netball is a massive part of the football community, really, in terms of the football netball clubs. We've got four teams. We've got a disability team there as well at Wangaratta Magpies, and they all add great value to our club. And one of the things I'm most proud of at the time is our netball sort of side of our club has really got a fantastic program and doing a great job with the girls.
But what effect will the growth of women's football have on netball, because you're competing for the same talent?
Yeah, it's interesting. It's really growing quite quickly, and we were a little bit involved with that last year, just trying to get the volunteers on the ground to do that extra work's been pretty tough. So, it's really interesting. Darcy Vesio is a Carball girl and playing with down in Melbourne. She's one of the stars. I saw a picture in the Herald Sun yesterday, and her brother Louis is a Wang boy who's moved down to Melbourne. So it's great seeing, I think, Daisy Pierce is from Bright, Darcy Vesio from up this way as well, and those girls doing fantastic down there and leading the way.
What do you reckon, Gaze? Is netball going to suffer as women's football takes off?
Well, it will have some strong competition, but you've always had an interest in AFL, particularly with the little ones coming through, and you're starting to see them go off into soccer or go into hockey or netball. So this will be another opportunity for them to shine. And it is a really strong netball part of the world. In fact, we often have teams that go to Melbourne and represent the Ovens and Murray. So they're a quality team. They're a strong team and a lot of support. And there will be some competition, but I'd imagine it's a matter of how they manage it.
Okay. Now, Marion Rack is a cherry grower. She's a former president of Australian Women in Agriculture and involved in so many different community organisations here. Marion, good morning to you.
Good morning, John.
I could read out your CV and we'd struggle to get it all done by the time we got to the 12 o'clock news, I suspect. How do you fit it all in?
Well, I mean, I don't know. It just happens. Yeah, look, my time with Australian Women in Agriculture has been really valuable, and I've had that for since 1998. I was only president for 3 years, but it's given me a really good network of agricultural women from around Australia. My time with Women on Farms Gathering, that's an annual event that happens, and I take a busload of 20 to 30 women to some small towns within Victoria, where they organise what we call a gathering. And that is another part of what I do. And I keep that network up and going and talking to people. And then I have... I'm also a graduate of the Alpine Valley Community Leadership Program, and my network there is really fantastic. But one of the things I find is really, really great is my time... I'm now with Villa Maria Catholic Homes, and I'm the coordinator of the Young Carer Mentor Program. And one of the biggest strengths of that was my network of people. So being able to create networks over the years has meant that I've been able to then call on those networks to get mentors for the young people. The young carers are young people who do not have the opportunity to go out and about. They are usually caring for an adult or another family member, and so therefore come home from school and do things for the family, don't have normal out and about type events to do. So the program actually gets mentors who will become mentors for the young people and pick them up and take them for a coffee or take them for a walk in the park. It gives them somebody that can support them as a single person.
But Marion, what motivates you? I mean, some people, I'll be a bit coarse here, if you'll forgive me, each of you, I hope. I mean, some people go into local activism because they love the power. What motivates you?
My friends, perhaps? I don't know. no, look.
When there's a job to be done, what makes Marion in her heart or her head say, yeah, okay, I can do that?
Okay, I'm a doer. And I think that anything that has to be done, an on-the-grounds thing that has to be done, I'm willing to step up to. I'm good at logistics. I'm good at those sorts of things. And I think I have something to value with other people, but not. I don't want to sort of be at the top of the ladder. It just doesn't. And to become Australian president of Australian Women in Agriculture, that was sort of almost a. Oh, what am I going to do now? But it's sort of one of those things that it was a great experience, and I think I encourage a lot of people to have a go. But it's not something that I needed to be to do what I have to do and to be able to communicate with my community.
Marion, would it be the difference that you make in some of these young people's lives, particularly with that mentoring program? We've spoken to some of the people that have gone on to different things, and you can just hear how important it is in their lives. Is that part of it?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Look, it's great to see the young people that have always had to be in a shadow of someone who's not well or that sort of thing, who are now able to look at their own lives a little bit better. Have got someone who will sort of take notice of them on in the special circumstances, you know. And so it broadens them, and I think in doing that, it's a joy for me to see that they are succeeding in being young people. They're having lives, which so to me, a young person deserves the right to have a life.
And you've helped change so many young people's lives by either getting them an opportunity to be involved in sport or further education or something that they've always wanted to do and passionate about but never had the opportunity because they're caring for somebody in the family who has a serious illness or they themselves are embroiled in a situation that may not be the ideal family situation.
No, look, it's great. It is good. And to see the mentors, the people that step up to look after those young people, they're very special people. And we like to make sure that as volunteers we give them some recognition as well, because it's important that they feel that they're doing a great job as well. And, you know, I'm always looking for mentors.
22 minutes past 11, Marion Rack, who's one of our guests here, together with Cole McLaren. Gay Patterson, my co-host. Now, last guest before we get to your callers is Matt Farlett. He's the co-founder and CEO of the Australian Centre for Rural Entrepreneurship. You may know his work from Typo Station, the youth project up in the High Plains. Matt, morning to you.
Morning, John.
Thanks for joining us. Now, how long have you been in this region, in this district?
If you consider the region going as far as Southern Riverina, all my life. So kind of in the region.
And so you're no stranger then to the issues also that we're talking about here, and Typo Station's a classic example of something that's of not just local but even national renown, but not everyone listening will know what it's about. So bring us up to speed there.
So Typo Station's really about young people who are struggling in life, being able to, you know, falling out of the school system, struggling at home, being able to kind of spend some time getting their life back on track through a time away from home, from their community, with a view that they can build the skills to and have that resilience to continue and thrive and get through a really difficult time and become really successful adults.
And it's a bit of is it a circuit breaker? Is that the idea in what otherwise might be a life going off the rails?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's putting young people in a holding pattern so that their opportunities aren't diminishing, so that they can learn the skills and build the networks and see themselves as having a different type of future and then the support to do that, which really involves embedding community support around them.
I've described each of you as the sort of glue that brings communities together. What does rural living mean to you?
To me, you know, thriving rural communities rely on two things, and that's kind of building social capital and economic capital at the same time. If we really do know that if you don't have a strong community, people, but you've got jobs, people will fly in and fly out or travel in or travel out, and people won't want to be there. But if you've only got social capital and a great community, eventually, if there's no jobs, people will move. So I think the real secret is trying to build those two things simultaneously.
What is this thing, this community that we talk about all the time? What actually is it? Is it just the people you know and the people you meet and the people you work with? What actually is community?
To me, it's people who, of course, have self-interest, but then they have interests broader than themselves. And so it's finding those people and getting them activated around things we can all agree on. To me, that's all community is. And I think increasingly it's about, you know, some of our systems don't support us anymore. You know, a lot of our community organisations are experiencing charity fatigue around those few people who are having to do the same jobs and be on the same committees and do the same fundraising time and time again. And I think that drags the community down. But if we can use skills in the community like business skills, to activate things like social enterprise, to develop more sustainable operations that mean our community organisations can thrive. I think they're the sorts of things that really start to build a cohesive and thriving community.
And it's about participation. Strong communities are those where lots and lots of people are involved in lots and lots of things rather than just a few people who are propping up the same things over and over again.
Well, I think people do get to a point where they just can't sustain it any longer if there's so few people. And I think the secret is how do we create models where people can go, you know what, if we invest this time in this activity, there will be some sort of sustained growth and advantage, and we're building something here.
We saw after the bushfires, those communities that had strong and broad input from lots and lots of people tended to recover, and everyone helped everybody else. And in some towns where just a few people were involved, things didn't happen as much because only a few people can achieve so much.
That's exactly right.
It's a really classic kind of, you know, how come that town did so much better than that town? I don't want to name any individual examples here, but, you know, you could sort of say, well, that's because there were a whole lot more people because it was a much more kind of caring, sharing experience than it was over there.
Absolutely.
It's interesting.
And I think also within our part of the world, when there is a problem, people get together and they try and fix it. And football and netball and soccer clubs and all the sporting clubs throughout the Goulburn Murray region, and we cover a huge area, which is southern New South Wales, northeast Victoria and the Goulburn Valley, they've been really innovative in the way they've tackled some big issues around drug use in the community, also about violence in the community. They often have rounds having awareness around some of those issues that are happening now, and they get together as a club and they talk about it, and they have nights where they'll, you know, after training, they'll have somebody come and speak to them about an issue that is topical in our community. And I'd imagine that happens quite a bit. Cole, you'd be seeing that?
Yeah, more and more so. We really see ourselves as a place where we can educate young people around a range of things, and, you know, we're not immune in our clubs to the issues of drugs or alcohol or family violence, so they're really important places to provide a discussion point around that, and particularly around respectful relationships, and those sorts of behaviours that we want to see around the club are also the sorts of behaviours we want to see around the community. So, you know, it's a, you know, constant conversations with young people around that, and really trying to develop them as really good community leaders.
1300 222 774 to join in our forum today. Here we are in Wangaratta. Gay Patterson from ABC Goulburn Murray is my co-host, and Cole, Marion and Matt are here, and you've heard them expressing their feelings about what it is that makes for a strong and resilient community. Well, now you tell us. We've got a good half hour to thrash this out. It might be that in your neck of the woods, wherever it might be, right across the whole of the area listening to us this morning, you've got a great local story that needs to be told to a broader audience. And dare I suggest it, it might also be the opposite. You might have been one of those people that made the shift to rural communities and found it didn't meet your expectations. And we need to hear those stories too, and what you think needs to be done. Because dare we say it, I'm a glass half full kind of guy, Gay, but there are people who move to the bush and then find it's just not all kind of, you know, beer and skittles. It's not as easy as it looks, and you can't just rock into a town and suddenly find yourself as if you've been there for generations.
No, that's right. I mean, you've got to get out and about, and you've got to meet people, and you've got to make an effort. But the community also has to make an effort to be open and welcoming to you as well. And sometimes it is difficult for people who uproot and move to another area to become part of a community, particularly when it is well entrenched with various people who do certain things.
And you come in and go, oh, I want to, I thought I could do that. And you go, no, hang on, that's my patch.
Yeah, you often see that with CWA cooking competitions. I hear that they're very competitive. So, you know, you just can't go in there and expect to win the sponge or the fruitcake section. You've got to wait your turn.
But if you, yeah, you might have been established in your community in the city, it doesn't mean you're instantly going to rock up and be thanked for trying to take on all sorts of roles that other people have worked long and hard to achieve in the country too. A couple of text messages. Hey, don't tell too many people about regional Victoria, says Joyce and Wenderee. The people living in regional Victoria don't want to be swamped by all you city types. Someone else complaining about public transport in the bush, in particular on weekends. If you do want to get into town for the theatre or the footy or whatever it might be to go and see a show, you can't get back, says Deb in Maroopna. My uncle's company, nice try Vicky, wants me to read out their name, but I won't. Moved to Wangaratta many years ago. I think decentralisation schemes work. And stop telling inner city lefty do-gooders how good it is up here, says Tim in Mansfield, who wants to be able to vet who it is that comes to live in the community. So I don't know if that's going to work either. Marion, what do you reckon?
Yeah, look, I'd just like to tell you about a little community that I live in, and it's called Mount Bruno. And, of course, in the last 3 years, we have had a turnover of properties, quite a large turnover. So,
Where is Mount Bruno, just so we know?
It's on the western side of the Warby Ranges, so it's just west of Wangaratta,
right.
25k out of town. And our community were all new people, and you know, they were all people that were under 50 but over 25. And they were coming out from the city or from another area to become farmers, to become people as part of the community. And as we, being one of the older families that have been there, as we saw these people moving into the valley, we thought, hey, we've got to know these people. How are we going to know these people? So what I did is I put in on an afternoon tea. I invited the oldies and I invited the newies. And they all came in, they got to know each other, and they've all linked as a really good community. Now they have a website and they're looking, they're all trying to grow different veggies and things like that in their yard. And they've always got too much, as you always do when you grow veggies. And they're looking at, you know, having a farm gate veggie sales in our little valley and stuff like that. But that community has now had the confidence to be able to then come into the city and join the clubs in town, what we call Wangaratta as the city, come in here and join, you know, the clubs and be part of the communities in town. But they've got their own little community out at Mount Bruno as well. And that has worked just really, really well. We're very, very lucky. We have no public transport out there. We have terrible internet service. And we've got people that are IT guys that are specialists that have actually put up towers and done all sorts of things so that we can get things better for our little valley. And I think that, you know, it's really good to be able to have a community that really gels.
Marion Rack, cherry grower from Mount Bruno. Gay Patterson, my co-host. Cole McLennan from the Wangaratta Magpies. And Matt Farlert from Typo Station, the Australian Centre for Rural Entrepreneurship, taking your calls. Amanda in Heathcote first up. And welcome, Amanda. Good to hear from you.
Hi, John. I just wanted to say I've moved to Heathcote. We bought in 2007 and we moved up there in 2012. And I got a job working in a restaurant, which is a winery as well. And now I've organised a social activity once a month and I'm on the Heathcote on Show committee. And I am also joined the CWA, which everyone thinks is really funny. And just the way I've met people and the way we've been able to be involved in the community has been absolutely sensational. I just love it.
Amanda, what happens if you move into a rural community, you want to get involved, but you hate meetings?
Well, I'm not a great meeting person, so that's why I went to originally the restaurant I'd been to for lunch, and I went and asked if I could work there, which the owner thought I was mad. But anyway, I did start working there and have been working there now for 4 years. But with the CWA, I'm not a great meeting person, but I can still be involved even if I don't go to all the meetings, because I now know the girls that are part of it. So if they need me to do anything or I need to be involved in something, even if I don't get to the meeting, I can still be involved.
Okay, maybe it's just my experience of ABC meetings that leaves me a little jaundiced over the last several decades, Amanda, but I think there's lots of people who don't mind doing stuff, they just don't want to sit through interminable meetings. I guess I'm not unique. I think Cole was nodding in recognition of that syndrome as I made the gag.
Yes, I think it's true. You can sort of get caught up in lots of community meetings. I've just moved out to Oxley in the last 5 months or so, and ended up going to the Oxley Residents Association meeting last week, and I didn't realise that the one meeting closed and the Reserve Committee meeting opened directly after that, and it was the same people around the table, so that's an example.
It can happen
that's normal.
It's normal. Okay, thank you, Marion. I don't know, Gail, you would have experience of ABC meetings. They can exhaust the best of us.
Yes, they can. I always say a short meeting is a good meeting.
Stand-up meetings are my favourite.
Oh, yes, yep. Or walking meetings. Yep. They're another option as well. But, I mean, the thing is, you get the same people coming together who do the amount of the work, but you've got to bring in the new people to keep sharing that around. And as Cole would know, and Matt and Marion, if you don't have new people coming in, then it becomes very stale and it becomes very difficult to continue the enthusiasm.
Let's go to the other end of the state. Nola up in Mildura. Nola at 24 minutes to 12. Good morning to you in Mildura.
Good Morning, Jerome. How are you doing?
Very good. And now, there's a classic example. Mildura, what a strong and resilient community you've got up there. How does it happen?
Well, I was beginning to wonder. I didn't mention, hear you mention Mildura when you're listing all those wonderful regional towns around around Victoria, so I thought I'd just put in a bit of a reminder for us up here. We've got a community of about 60,000 people. It has absolutely every facility you could want here. We have a campus of La Trobe. Monash Medical Centre has a campus here. We have a huge public-private hospital. I say our sporting grounds are second to none. And I just want to tell you what a wonderful place it is here.
But it's the people, not the facilities. So describe what it is that makes Mildura a community that works.
Well, it's the sort of place, John, you can walk down the street and you can say hello to people and you can get a response back from them. And I think that because we are so, I suppose, isolated, hate to say the word, but we're a long way up here in the northwest, and I think we've got used to doing things for ourselves, because very often, you know, governments have tended to think, where's Mildura? But because of that, I think we've built a very strong, thriving community up here.
Do you need to be more self-reliant? Is that part of the secret for you?
I think that's it. I think that's, that, you know, everybody gets in and helps. And I think we have a very good municipality here, and I do think that there's a lot of community involvement. We have excellent schools, and I just think it's a great place to live.
What happens to people? And the other theme, Nola, before we move on, there's lots of other callers, 1300 222 774 to join in. What happens when people move into Mildura? Is there a process by which they become acclimatised or part of the community?
Yes, there are organisations that welcome people, and we are a recognised refugee-friendly place, and we have a great number. I think it's about 140 different nationalities living here in Mildura, and we all get along together very well. We started off with a lot of Italians, a lot of Yugoslavs, a lot of Greeks, and we all get on extremely well together, and I think it's a great lesson to everybody, really, to see how community can work if they really put their mind to it.
Good on you, Nola, and thank you very much. And, Gay, that's a really interesting point, the multiculturalism. It used to be, if you go back a generation, rural Australia was pretty much monocultural, and now no such thing.
Well, Bongilla, which is located in our part of the world, it was one of the centres from the late 1940s up until 1971, the Bongilla Reception Centre, and so many thousands of people passed through there and have come out and done amazing things and have gone on to be good leaders. And many of the communities in regional Victoria and southern New South Wales are very welcoming of refugees. And asylum seekers is one of the issues that's been on the agenda for our area, particularly with some of the candidates that you met last night and some of the candidates elsewhere in the seat of Farrer and the seat of Murray and the seat of McEwen.
Well, it brings new blood in, and particularly if you're talking, Col, about the sporting communities, and sport's a great way of getting kids to play together and meet each other and the families to start to meet.
Absolutely. It's a great connector sport, and one of the things that is great is that just people come together, they have a sense of belonging around a purpose, and whether you're 80 and you're behind the bar like Wobbles Allen at our club, who just loves the place, or you're...
Wobbles Allen.
He's a legend.
Yeah, clearly.
Or you're 16 and you come into the club, you've got that sort of common purpose and common sense of involvement, and people just connect around that thing that they love.
Text messages, I'll get back to calls in just a second. Don't neglect to mention how important vocational training is in rural communities. TAFE's incredibly important. And please don't foster stupid dichotomies, them and us way of viewing things. We're all Australians contributing in whatever way we can. City and regional people are not a different species. My uncle Lionel Wallace was in the team of the century for the Wangaratta Magpies, says Liz. Good on you, Uncle
he was.
Lionel.
He's a greater legend as well.
Yeah, clearly. And my partner and I are ICT professionals, and we would never consider moving to a rural area unless there's good internet covered by fibre to the premises. We both work for Telstra, and we know how bad copper wires for the internet are in rural Australia, says Kieran. And did I just hear Mount Bruna? Mount Bruno, I'm sorry. I'm listening to you from Sydney. I'm a Thuna boy. Remember well the Mount Bruno picnic all those years ago.
It's very good.
And yes.
Doing a Willy event, the Willy event that they have every year.
Yeah, well, that's the Willy picnic bins. That happens. That, yep. Well, there's the Willy bins. They're also the Mount Bruno picnic is on the last Saturday of every year, and it has been going since before the turn of the last century.
Wow.
Put it in the diary.
I'm back in a fortnight, says John. I always bring my bicycle. Great cycling, great views, but I took moving away to make me realise how good it was back there. It's bloody cold, though, says John. Only for a little while. Okay, thank you. And Warrnambool, massive community issues, especially if Deakin Uni do go ahead and shut down their campus, says Jono. So there's a classic example while we're talking about, in particular, the educational sector decentralising. There's Deakin Uni. It's almost inexplicable why they're withdrawing from Warrnambool, and they say that it's not paying its way anymore. So there's
I think the big issue here, John, is if you're a listener in Melbourne, you'd be thinking, oh, well, that's where... all well and good to have that lifestyle and have that kind of connectedness of community, but unless I can get a viable kind of career-orientated job for myself and my partner, it's just not a realistic option. And I think what people don't realise is that we do understand that youth unemployment's tripled since 2007, and it's a hideous statistic, but that what we're trying to do around that is to look at a whole... cultural shift in our society up here, particularly in the northeast, around positioning young people to see themselves as job creators in the future instead of just seeing themselves as job seekers. And it is that sort of creative and critical thinking that is going to drive the jobs of the future. And what we're trying to do is position young people to have that mindset, skills and behaviours, and for the rest of us in community, so the elders, the business, government, community and education leaders, is to kind of pull down those barriers that currently prevent young people starting their own jobs, and whether that's a job just for themselves or a job that's going to lead on to growth and jobs for others. What our job is as the elders is to get out of the road and create that enabling environment so that young people can drive the change that's needed, because I totally take people from the city at the moment will be thinking, well, that's all well and good, but, you know, even if I do have the skills to bring my own job up there, if I don't have the critical infrastructure I need to operate a successful business, it's going to be really hard. So it's really where that kind of government and it meets community needs to build that enabling infrastructure.
So we need those clever and creative entrepreneurs.
And they're already here, but it's about actually how do we use and mentor and use those guys as role models for the next generation and equip the next generation to value the idea of job creation, because, you know, face it, we don't know what the new industries are going to be, but we do know that all young people are going to need, you know, what's been traditionally called soft skills as the core skills of future business, which is, you know, leadership, communication, negotiation, empathy, problem solving, critical and creative thinking, and yet our education system currently doesn't actually focus on those things. So that's what we're doing.
Matt Farlett speaking there from Taupo Station, the Youth Project, also with the Australian Centre for Rural Entrepreneurship. 16 minutes to 12 on 774 ABC Melbourne and ABC Victoria. Broadcasting from Wangaratta today, John Fain with Gay Patterson from ABC Goulburn Murray, and as well on our panel, Marion Rack, Cherry Grower from Mount Bruno, and Cole McLoonan, who is the president of the Wangaratta Magpies Football and Netball Club. Text message: people need to realise just as quickly as a community can embrace you, they can turn on you and make your life miserable as well. Rod from Crib Point here at the Cafe Preview on our broadcast. Morning to you, Rod.
Yeah, John, I'd just like to say that we're tourists. I'm a retired professional firefighter, and we're touring the electorate of Indi. We had a wonderful Friday afternoon long lunch down at Brown Brothers. We then went over to Beechworth at the Lake Samuel Caravan Park, which was fantastic. Now we're enjoying Wangaratta. And while I'm handing out accolades, I'd like to hand an accolade to the United Firefighters Union. I am completely enjoying their superannuation scheme that they want for me. Thank you, United Firefighters Union. And I'd like to say to the people of Indi, don't be worried about the scare tactics of the Herald Sun. The Herald Sun stands condemned at frightening new people. No way are professional firefighters want to occupy your 1,200 volunteer stations. There's only 34 stations with professional firefighters, and that's where we're staying unless you can't meet response times on the perimeter. Don't be trapped into the scare campaign of the Herald Sun.
All right, good on you, Rod, and thank you indeed. I hope you continue to enjoy your tour around. good to get your views, and it's interesting, in fact, how little of the CFA dispute seems to be bleeding into discussions here in the election. Last night at the forum, we had, what, 500 or 600 people in the Wangaratta Performing Arts Centre gay, and it got mentioned only once or twice.
Yes, there was a story that the Wangaratta Chronicle had by the local CFA to say, we're all good here, but we haven't been able to confirm that because of the fact that they refer you to head office. But there seems to be a few concerns, particularly in Mollyoola, and if you are of the CFA brigades. But yeah, you're right, they're still trying to resolve it and get to the end of what is an ongoing dispute. And of course, we'll wait and see what happens with that.
Let's get back to our callers, and there's plenty of them. And Pauline in Coolbenabbin at 14 minutes to 12. Pauline, good morning to you, and tell us, where's Coolbenabbin?
Coolbenabbin is halfway between Rushworth and Echuca.
Okay.
Bendigo.
If you can get closer to your phone, that would help us. But go ahead.
Okay. Well, I might pull over then. That might be a bit safer, also.
Yeah, it would be safer, and we'll hear you better, and okay. Everyone's going to be happy. I think we'd call that a win-win-win
situation.
Are you there now?
Yes, I'm right. Can you hear me now?
You're on air. Go ahead.
Well, I'm a newcomer to Coolbenabbin. Maybe we've been here now 5 years. And pretty much everything you've been saying about the other communities all happens in Coolbenabbin, Colbo. But we have a fight on our hands at the moment. We're trying to save our swimming pool that the Campaspe Shire is wanting to close down the small community pool. And we have all joined together, young and old and newcomers, to run a campaign to save our pool. And it is all inclusive. It doesn't matter if you are a newcomer. Everybody recognises the need for the few community activities you have. You want to hang on to them for the next generation.
And yet the question always comes down to money, doesn't it, Pauline? Swimming pools are very expensive things to look after and to keep safe and healthy.
Well, that's right. And we're arguing that if we could have more community involvement in the running of our pool, we could continue to keep our kids out of the dam and the channel.
OK, well, you might want to get to talk to the people from some of the suburban pool campaigns in Melbourne that managed to save their pools. This is classic community grassroots activism, I suppose, Gay, isn't it?
Yes, and there's been a campaign here in Wangaratta as well. Pools have been quite a topic of late, particularly once they start to identify a few issues with them. There seems to be a push to get rid of them and then possibly look at other options, you know, further into the future, but it doesn't guarantee that you'll have a pool in your community.
Yep, expensive things. Daniel in Garvock, good morning to you. Daniel, at 11 minutes to 12, welcome to our forum on 774 ABC Melbourne, ABC Victoria. Daniel, go ahead.
Good morning, John. Yeah, look, I just want to add, certainly in our area down here, we welcome newcomers to the area and welcome some reverse migration from city to country. I just wanted to add, it's important those who are migrating to the country are aware that of the right to farm issue, and when they join these local communities, that it is agriculture that keeps the communities, or it's the lifeblood of the communities, keeps the communities going, so that they, first and foremost, have the right to farm, as they have been for hundreds of years in those regions. So I just wanted to add that point. I'm fully supportive of reverse migration, so I just wanted to make sure that we've seen in the past some issues where it can arise to newcomers to regions, to the regional areas.
So, Daniel, you're worried about people who move from the city to the country and then wish the country was more like the city?
Well, as I'm saying, it just need to be aware that it is agricultural zoned and that is the purpose of the regions.
Sure, but it reminds me of a mate of mine who bought his first house just near a really big pub that he used to really enjoy going to for the music and the beer garden, and then as soon as he was living round the corner, he wanted the pub to stop making so much noise.
Yes, exactly right. That can happen. So, and a lot of who come to the small towns, why they're going so well is because of agriculture, so they need to ensure that the right to farm is upheld.
Okay, but the right to farm doesn't mean the right to pollute, does it?
No, it's got to be in an environmentally friendly fashion, and the EPA are always on top of that.
well, no, they're not, is the problem. And so sometimes you get people who suddenly are used to pretty much doing whatever they like in some pocket of countryside, and suddenly people move in and go, well, hang on, you, what are you discharging into the river there? That's no good.
John, the majority of farmers in agricultural areas do the right thing by the environment, because they need the land to be in a healthy state to provide for their animals and their crops.
Yeah, couldn't agree with you more, but then you do always, and I'm not just being difficult here, but you do get people who are not used to having what they're doing being subject to any scrutiny or being accountable to anybody, and that's no good either, is it?
No, absolutely. You've got to be accountable, and it's in the farmer's best interest to look after their land and their waterways.
Good to toss it around, Daniel, and thank you. Jackie in Wodonga joins us, 8 minutes to 12 on 774 ABC Melbourne and ABC Victoria. Gay Patterson, Cole McLennan, Marion Rack and Matt Farlett are our panel. We've got a few more minutes for lots more views, so let's get Jackie from Wodonga. Good morning to you.
Good morning, John. How are you?
Good, welcome.
I actually live in Wodonga, the regional rural town, and I've actually had a lot to do with Matt Farlett in terms of ACRE and what it's actually creating in our communities. And I'm quite the opposite to a lot of people when they're saying that young people want to flee to the city. I think that champions like Matt Farlett and community leaders who have jumped on board along with our local MP, Cathy, we're starting to create a shift in the job seekers to job creators, and that's quite an exciting space for someone that's young like me, 25 years of age. And I can't wait to come back to my community and start being a part of that process.
So, Jackie, are young people, you sound to me as if you're one of them, are they still looking to the city for the future, or are they looking locally? And if so, what do you need to do to keep people local?
Yeah, look, the only challenge I see as a young person particularly is with our higher education options. But in particular, I am travelling away to Canberra this year to do postgraduate study. I've been fortunate to do most of my study locally in Wodonga, but I find that there's a lot of opportunity in our communities, and I actually find it very empowering to come back to our regional communities such as Yarkandandah and Wodonga, because the support networks that we have within our community, it's a tight knit. And yeah, I think Matt can really speak to that, because what he's done with ACRE and with his launch this year, I think it's just fantastic to have someone really championing that for young people.
Great to hear, Jackie. And look, in the Republic of John Fain, if I was in charge for a day, Matt, what would happen if I said to the education institutions that are creating this whole industry that's growing Melbourne so rapidly, no more investment in Melbourne, any Victorian investment has to be decentralised, and you're going to have to set up campuses outside of the metropolitan Melbourne area?
Well, if we could do that, John, and we could make a movement towards the skills that young people are going to need in the future, so that we can have true innovation through project-based learning and those core skills being developed, then that would be an exciting, very exciting movement.
I remember interviewing Dennis Napthine when he was Premier, and he talked about the agricultural training opportunities to train Chinese agricultural scientists, but the University of Melbourne was shutting down its regional campus at exactly the same time. And it was like, hang on, there's a disconnect here. We need to keep those facilities open and crank them up.
Well, we see that sort of scenario happen all the time in rural Victoria. We talk about the loss of jobs, and then the government departments move all their decentralised offices out of places like Benalla. And you go, well, where's the sense in that? And then 2 years later, there's got to be a new program to start to bring some of those offices back. And we see that, and we kind of yawn. But we also really understand that we're going to have to drive this stuff ourselves.
Yeah, and it's exactly the same. The text message is running hot saying, well, it's exactly what makes people move away from small towns if you shut the local swimming pool. Or why would you keep living there? And that's a classic example. Now, Liz from Warrilli, good morning to you.
Good morning. I just made eye contact with you when you started talking about the bike trails here in Wangaratta. I live out in the country half an hour from here, and I bring my bike in every Tuesday and ride with a group. And the bike trails around Wangaratta are amazing. You very rarely have to get out and mix up with the cars. You can ride along and chat to someone. And I just think here in Wangaratta we're so lucky. We have the rail trail that goes all the way from Wangaratta to Bright, and I also pick that up in Myrtleford sometimes and go on the bike trail. So
how long does that take, that trip?
Which one?
From Wangaratta to Bright.
I haven't done that. I've only done from Myrtleford to Bright.
That'd be a fair way.
Yeah, it's a fair way, yes.
But the thing about a rail trail is if the trains could do the gradient and the cyclists can too.
Yes, I know. The grading is really nice.
Yeah.
So I grew up in the city and married a farmer, and I've lived up here ever since. And I think it's a wonderful part of the world living
Fantastic.
Here.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
Kieran from Wangaratta is here as well. Kieran, good morning to you.
Good morning, John. Marty Corboy's been under a barrage of questions about his education of his young family.
He's the National Party candidate here, yes.
Yes, that's right. I'd like to ask the question where Cathy McGowan educated her children.
I can't answer that question.
If it's good enough for one, it's good enough for them all.
Okay, good on you, and thank you for bringing that one in as we wind up here this morning. We've got Claire Bowditch waiting to tell us what's on the radio this afternoon, but I just want to thank you all for very much for the lively discussion that we've had today, and give you each a chance, just a bit of a final, really quick pitch as well, because it's inspiring, and the text messaging screen is full of people saying, oh, look, you know, the city's got all sorts of problems with it. So, Matt, the big switch, you're encouraging people to think about alternatives to the city?
Yeah, absolutely, and bring their wisdom, bring their know-how to rural communities, because there's already people out here. The days of the local yokel being the only person in the main street are well and truly gone. We've got very sophisticated small towns.
And Marion, Mount Bruno might be full, but there's plenty of other Mount Brunos around that could do with a bit of reinvigoration too.
Oh, yes, I'm sure there is.
And then street parties for everybody.
Yeah, not necessarily street parties, but just parties or communication between each other is really important.
And Col McLennan, you'd want them all to come along to the Magpies in Wangaratta.
Yes, if you've got some football skills, you certainly do that. And we've really got a sort of local content mainly, but... But, yeah, it's a great place to be involved.
And we'll see what happens in the council elections too. Gay Patterson, it's been a real eye-opener and great fun. Thank you.
Thank you very much for coming to our part of the world. We love having you on the conversation now, and it's great to see you face-to-face. And to you and your team, it's been a real pleasure. A couple of things I wanted to mention. For anyone moving to a regional area, get in touch with your local council. They have welcome packs. A can-do attitude is a must. And speaking of a can-do attitude, there's a winter solstice event in QE2 Square in Albury between 5 and 7. It's a group of hardworking people who are supporting friends and family impacted by suicide. Everyone is welcome. Archie Roach will be performing. Stan Grant will be there. If you're in the area, QE2 Square tonight between 5 and 7.
Terrific. And thank you, Gay Patterson, Chief of Staff and Mornings Presenter for ABC, Goulburn Murray. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been wonderful to be here. Thank you very, very much for making us welcome, particularly to the staff here at Cafe Preview who have put up with us this morning, and to Matt Drew and to Stuart. It's been absolutely huge. Col McLennan, Marion Rack, Matt Fallett, thank you all very, very much for making us so welcome, but particularly Gay Patterson to you and your crew. It's been fascinating this morning. Lots and lots of text messages from people, including those who are saying, we're the Pichelba Wangaratta Rutherglen family. Moved to Narracourt from the West Rimmer, and people make you incredibly welcome. Don't be shy, do try it. On 774 ABC Melbourne and ABC Victoria, thank you very much for making us welcome here in Wangaratta.
The Conversation Hour podcasts are available at abc.net.au/Melbourne. Subscribe now and you'll receive automatic updates with special guests, interesting interviews. It's a bit of fun. You'll be mad not to subscribe. abc.net.au/Melbourne.